is Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And joining us this afternoon, we have Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. And with that, I do want to remind you, of course, you can reach out for more information following this conversation or for any other topics that we have discussed over the past year by just simply giving them a call, 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, and of course also online at harvellandcollins.com. Spell out that word and, please, harvellandcollins.com. And with that, good afternoon to you, Cecil.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. Here we are, coming up on the end of 2023. It's so hard to believe. We have just what, a couple weeks, a couple of weeks and a half, or whatever it is. But it's soon, isn't it?
Wow, it is. And you know, the interesting thing is, just to put it in perspective, we're practically a quarter of a way through the 21st century.
Wow. It has been an interesting 25 years, and it has flown by, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
But to round it off, 20. I mean, I just remember like it was yesterday, it being 2000 and turning to 2000 and the millennium and all the celebration and discussion and some anxiety about, you know, it being
computers.
2000.
Yeah.
So, and then here we are now, 24 years later.
Right.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
It's amazing.
But Lockwood, speaking of the way in which the years pass by, the end of the year is always a time when we are, I think all of us are in some element of reflection, some of us more than others, but it certainly is a time to reflect and to look back and to kind of take score. Where are we? And of course, right out of the gate, you know, are our affairs in order? So today is really going to kind of be some helpful year-end suggestions, okay? And we start right out of the conversation, Lockwood, with just, well, where are our original documents? Ooh. Not our copies, but where are our originals? I just cannot even begin to tell you, Lockwood, how many times people will bring, you know, a copy of a power of attorney or a will or a deed, something that they have in their at home, and then they will. The question is, what do you know where the original is? Mm-hmm. And they don't know, and they have to go look for it. And sometimes they find it. Sometimes they call a week later, saying, you know, Cecil, we've just looked high and low, and we can't find the original documents. Or the lawyer we think who might have had them has gone out of business. Unfortunately, some of them have died. Things change, and you know, had a file in just yesterday with some wonderful clients from Salter Path, and lo and behold, guess who did their documents 25 years ago? Nelson Taylor,
right?
Wonderful person, wonderful lawyer. You knew him well. I knew him well. But our friend Nelson is not living anymore, is he, Lockwood?
And of course, the activities associated with that have transferred to other staff members or to other firms, and they probably don't know who Lockwood Phillips is or who Cecil Harvell is. So there's a loss of continuity there as well, and it's natural.
Correct, exactly. It's part. That's why we're discussing it at this time of the year, Lockwood, because it's a natural part of life. There is change. There is movement. So just to be more clear, find your original documents. Know where they are. Mm. Now, that goes without saying that I hope you have documents.
Right.
If you don't have documents at all, then you need to, as a New Year's resolution, set forth a goal to have to go to your lawyer and to get your documents done. And if your documents are more than, and I'll put it out there, even 10 years, if your documents are more than, you know, 10 years old, 7 to 10 and on, then they probably need to be updated, because there have been some changes in the law in those 7 to 10 years, particularly in the area of powers of attorney. There's also just been a practical change in the way in which documents are are administered. We've talked about this a lot with regard to a power of attorney, with also with regard to the estates divisions in the various counties. So your documents need to be fairly up to date. I'd say anything over about 7 to 10 years needs to be looked at. But it's important that you know where the original is. If your original is in a safety deposit box, then you need to make sure that your executor is a deputy on the box, that your executor can get into the box, you know, when the time comes. Now, if they can't, we'll manage to get through it, and we will get in the box after the fact. But it certainly is nice sometimes, you know, for your family members to have your one of your family members as the deputy so that they can go and get the power of attorney, things of that nature, if that's where you're storing your originals. Your lawyer might have the originals, and if they do, then that's just fine. But just confirm that. I know that at our office we do maintain original documents. We have a vault system, but with most law firms, it would be highly organized. We have all of that, of course, computerized, and any phone call you can call in and ask about your originals, and we can tell you, yes, absolutely, we have them, and these are the documents that are in your original folder in terms of you have a health care, you have a power, you have a will, you have a trust. All of that would be itemized in each and every original file. So locate your originals. Originals are important. Copies are helpful, and we can sometimes work around the lack of original with the use of a copy, but we don't really want to go there, Lockwood, if we don't have
to. You know, this leads to a question, if I can interrupt you here for a moment, Cecil. And of course, we're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins, and he is sort of, again, sharing with us thoughts about how we can protect our lives right now, but also the lives of our family members in case of an unexpected experience. And life has full of those. You know, it's interesting, Cecil, you've got people who have moved from distant, countries, distant states, who've moved into the area, who recall they had an attorney named the city, Sioux City, Iowa, or Grand Rapids, something, or New York. And they vaguely recall having those documents. They're not sure if the attorney is still there. They make the call to the attorney's office only to discover the attorney has sold that practice or is no longer with us. And so here I am saying, well, I know I've got a power of attorney. I know I've got a will. I've got these documents. It could be from Charlotte, North Carolina. But I'm not sure that I can get my hands on the originals. Is there a possibility of walking into your office and saying, okay, we're going to eliminate those originals, or we're going to redocument our records? Is that a possibility? And if that happens, what happens if somebody discovers those old original documents?
Well, your new documents are always, Lockwood, right up at the very forefront of the document, are going to revoke any prior document. Okay. They usually always say that now comes, you know, John Doe, revoking any prior last will and testament.
Okay.
In terms of powers of attorney, it's the most recent one that is going to control, one that is dated most recently, and even a power of attorney many times will also have revocation language up at the top for prior documents. When you bring your documents into North Carolina from your other state, and you're now going to settle in our great state and make North Carolina your home, first of all, we are glad you're here, and we welcome you, don't we, Lockwood?
Right. Yeah.
But the next thing, of course, is those documents from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you know, people from all over, they need to be looked at. They need to be reviewed by a North Carolina lawyer and make sure that they're in conformance with North Carolina law. And it is likely that, depending on the circumstances and the facts, it's likely that your North Carolina lawyer will just want to simply amend those documents and make them controlling, but make the document be interpreted according to North Carolina law. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most major things that we see, Lockwood. Let me give a little bit more detail on that, and we'll move forward. Yep. all of your documents from other states, just like our documents, Lockwood. If you look at the back of the document, many times it's in the boilerplate, it's hidden, it's not usually on the front page. But this will is to be interpreted pursuant to the statutes of yada, 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 you know, Pennsylvania, or yada, 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 New Jersey, because they were done in that state. And so, therefore, the lawyer in that state, when they were done, they're very good documents, let's say, but they incorporated in by reference the laws of that state and said that the document is to be administered and controlled according to the laws of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Without exception, Lockwood, when folks bring me documents from other states, back in the back of that document, the final couple of pages, I can find that language. And I point that out to the client, and immediately kind of a light comes on, and they say, well, we don't want that.
Right.
We don't want to be here in North Carolina and have our children have to interpret the documents according to New Jersey law and find a New Jersey lawyer after we've already got a North Carolina lawyer.
Right.
So let's look at that issue, and let's review it, and then move on from there.
Okay.
Now, Lockwood, in addition to just knowing where your original documents are and kind of dusting them off, again, that rule, 7 to 10 years, look at them. Maybe there are some things that need to be changed. Another thing that is very helpful is for you to review the beneficiaries of your, and right now, just to use the general word, accounts. But when I say accounts, I mean your life insurances, your IRAs, your 401ks, your federal employment government insurance, whatever the asset happens to be that you know about. After all, you've been paying for this life insurance policy.
Right.
You know that you have a retirement account. You know that you have a vested account with the federal government if you are a civil service worker. And all of these kinds of accounts, Lockwood, have beneficiaries. And we need to look at those. We need to look at those carefully. You know, are they in order? You know, in a matter of, you know, years, Lockwood, things change. I mean, people will pass on. Many times we see that the beneficiary is the spouse.
Right.
But the spouse is not living, but the but the beneficiary designations have not been changed and updated since the loss of a spouse to the children or the grandchildren or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Look at these documents carefully, mostly, Lockwood, in terms of the contingency provisions. It's very easy to say, you know, of course, you know, to my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the easy one, isn't it? But what happens after that? Is it equally between the children? Is it a certain percentage to certain children? Is there a percentage to the children and then a percentage to the grandchildren? And so sometimes these beneficiary designation forms, annuities is another one. I failed to mention that word, annuities, life insurance, IRAs, 401ks. Sometimes these forms, Lockwood, can be a bit complicated. And if they are, then feel free to contact your lawyer and have your lawyer spend, you know, 30 minutes kind of walking you through that form. It's a change, it's called a change of beneficiary form. And all of the companies will have it. And you can call them or email them or write them and obtain that form. And then once you have that form, make a copy of it, photostatic copy, and start filling it in. And if you start to run into questions about it, which you could, don't feel like you're the only one, because I'm here telling you that these forms can somewhat be complicated. And they're more complicated now than ever, Lockwood, which is why you and me are talking about legal.
Right.
Let's Talk Legal here on your radio station, because so many things have become a bit more complex in 2023 than they used to be. And these forms can be complicated. If that's the case, then take them to your lawyer and have your lawyer go through them with you.
Okay. So we're talking about, you know, first finding your records, documents, and then reviewing them, and also looking at, as you just mentioned, the beneficiaries and the contingencies. We're talking, of course, with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins, and this, again, is an effort to, you know, make our audience aware Don't take these things for granted. If you want to find out more information, don't hesitate to give Cecil or Wes Collins or any of the staff there at Harbell and Collins a call. 252 area code 726-9050, or harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please. harvellandcollins.com. We're talking about end of the year planning for all intents and purposes, which, by the way, Cecil, represents beginning of the year as well. So, you know, this is the right time of the year to start thinking about all of these. What else should we be considering at this point?
Well, one of the questions that's absolutely lurking in and around this conversation, Lockwood, that you and I are having this afternoon, is, you know, our clients ask us, well, how much should I tell my children?
Right.
Should they have a copy of the document? Do my children need to come by the office and hear you explain what you've prepared for my wife and I? And the answer to that question, Lockwood, is not. It depends on the person. I mean, right. Some folks are very private. They do not want their information shared with their children or their grandchildren. They just want to hold it close to the chest, and it will be what it will be when they're no longer living. And if that's something that someone holds true to, then we, as your lawyer, will certainly respect that. I certainly, as a lawyer, having done this for a while and in the area of trust and estates, will say that it is nice when you have communicated to your children and grandchildren, particularly if there is a circumstance in your document that is in your documents, I should say, that is unique. I mean, if you're leaving your home to your daughter because your daughter is going to care for you in your last years, and you've got two sons out there, that it's going to be a third, but for the fact that your daughter is going to obtain the house, then it would be nice if the family knew that and that it doesn't necessarily come as a surprise when we're no longer living.
Not only that, good point on that one, Cecil, is also, I'm thinking, at least document the justification for some of these actions so that upon our passing, at least they'll have an understanding of what our thinking process, our thought process is. If I don't want to share that with them, at least give them some sort of explanation at that point. Would it not be a good idea?
Exactly. I think it is a good idea. And so I am just, as a lawyer in this area, I'm saying that I encourage folks to communicate their intentions. Particularly if there are twists and turns, it's good for the family to know these things in advance. But again, we have to respect the client, and if the client wants that information to not be shared, then we respect that. It wouldn't really be the attorney anyway that would communicate to the other members of the family. It would be the principal. It would be the drafter of the document, the mother, the father, the granddad, who would do the communication anyway.
Right.
But the more information that a family has, I think, in the long run, is advantageous.
Good point. Very good point.
And so the reason I mention that right now is that, you know, Christmas and New Year's is this joyous holiday that we all celebrate, or many people do, and the bottom line is that many times we're with our family, and now is the time, maybe when they're together, when we're able to discuss these things. So that's a good thing to say at this time of the year.
Communications is what you're saying. Communicate. All right. We're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. All right, other items that we should consider at the as we wrap up the year?
Lockwood, let's don't continue to put off those things that we've always said that we're going to do, but I just can't quite get around to it. Like, for instance, a survey on the property.
Okay.
Some sort of you know, environmental concern, some sort of fence that's not known to be on whose property it could pan out to be an encroachment for the estate. The bottom line is that is that we know our circumstances, our property,
right,
our boundary lines, our issues concerning, you know, even, so many things, drainage, easements,
right,
utility easements, fences,
mm-hmm,
posts, everything touching and concerning our property that we've been living on and living around, and living through, I might add, the hurricanes and the storms,
right,
you know, for many, many years, bulkheads, piers, you know, Locke, would you know exactly what I'm talking about?
Oh,
about
I do.
Bulkheads and piers and
yeah,
things of that nature. So all of this, these accoutrements, these improvements, encumbrances to our property, we understand them more clearly than our children or grandchildren,
right,
will. So now is the time to clear some of that up. If you think that there needs to be a pier agreement or a dock agreement, or there needs to be a fence agreement, if there needs to be a survey, and you've just been putting these things off because of cost or anything of that nature, then the bottom line is maybe now is the time to really bite the bullet and get those things done.
You know, that leads to a comment that you've always said here on the program, Cecil, and that is document, document, document. Create a document to assure the adequate transfer and or continuation, if you will, of an activity. So I know exactly what you're talking about related to a situation where an easement was, for all intents and purposes, granted, and in the process of transfer of the property, the easement has been forgotten, and now they are remembering it. And of course, it's a little bit of a surprise.
You know, we hear things like this. Well, Daddy always said.
Right.
You know, Mom
right,
always told us.
Yes.
You know, we always knew that yada yada was the case. That,
uh-huh,
you know, John Doe next door had this, or went over to here, or went over to there. Well, you know, now this property has this, I'm talking about real estate now and land,
okay,
you know, has passed on to a whole new generation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, with more than one person, with, you know, a couple of different children, or two or three children, or children and grandchildren. And so if there are any issues out there concerning your property, loose ends, if you will, then now is the time to get those addressed and get those very clearly documented, so that your children are not going to have to just rely on hearsay and statements and this is what someone said, this is what I always heard. Lockwood, I cannot emphasize this issue enough, particularly in our precious Carteret County.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
our down east properties, you know, even our western properties now in the Newport area,
uh-huh,
and beyond, there are a lot of crossovers, boundary line,
mm-hmm,
disputes, you know, dock and pier issues. I mean, we hear a lot of this. This is not something that I'm just kind of conjuring up here. It is a real issue when the next generation has to take on the issues that Mom and Dad or Grandmama, Granddaddy,
right,
just ignored.
You know, the partly ignored, or you know, they just took in stride. I you mentioned the fact that here in Carteret County, but in many communities, because of expansion, roadways, sidewalks, things of this nature, and suddenly there is these instances of, if you will, an understanding, an agreement, but then also the, you know, where is, this brings us all the way back circle, where is the original agreement that you had with the town or with your neighbor over this easement or this access
That's
point?
Correct.
Where's the original
That's
document? That goes back to how we actually began the conversation. It's just a matter of having that available.
It is. And and so, you know, Lockwood, those are the things that really come most to the forefront of my mind this afternoon.
I think
and they're all kind of interconnected and interrelated. Many times when we find our documents, and particularly if we're talking about documents 7 to 10 years or more, then the issues are just completely
right
there in front of us. I mean, as I mentioned
yesterday,
I had clients send documents from many years ago, and the executor named in the document is no longer living,
mm-hmm,
and they knew that, They knew that the executors in the document were no longer living in their will, mm-hmm. last will and testament, but they just had was something that they were going to, you know, get around to doing. And so let's do it. Let's get it done.
No better time of the year, as Cecil started out, and of course we bring it all full circle back to the documentation issue. Where are the documents? Identify the documents, and then in the process review the documents and take time to consider other activities, such as we just mentioned a moment ago, some casual transaction that really is more than a casual transaction, but should be documented. And the other aspect of it, and to Cecil's point, we're here for the family community now. We're gathering for families in most instances. We're communicating with one another. No better time than to start thinking about this. This is not designed to bring a heavy weight of responsibility on anyone, but it's a good opportunity, and we should not pass it by. Cecil, I think this is an excellent observation. By the way, I want to remind you, if you have a question about this and you were thinking, well, should I worry about a document? Just a simple phone call, 252 area code, 726-9050, 726-9050, or you can, as I mentioned a moment ago, go online to harvellandcollins.com. That's Harvell and, spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com. As always, Cecil, thank you very much. And as we get closer to the season, or to the day, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Lockwood, and the same to you. And, of course, all the same to our listeners and our folks out there here in Eastern North Carolina. We appreciate you, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Here we go.